Nice try, Owen Jones, but not even you leaving the Labour Party will convince me to join it. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and this is Non-Censored. Hello and welcome to Non-Censored, the podcast that wraps up all the best bits from my very real daily radio show into one easy-to-digest highlights package. I'm joined as ever by my producer, Martin, and what a show we have for you this week, eh, Martin?
Oh, yes, indeed. We had an interview with outgoing First Minister of Wales, Mark Drakeford. Ishan Akbar joins us to discuss Scotland's new thought police, and we spoke to Penny Mordaunt about those leadership rumours. But before we go any further, I just want to say thank you to our new Patreons this week who gave their names as Belinda Blunderbuss, Alex Sylvester, and Rishi Sunak. And yes, very funny, Alex, but there's no way that's your real name.
Yeah, so be more like Rishi and sign up to support us at patreon.com/non-censored, where you will get full videos of all our interview segments as well as early access to episodes, which are ad-free, and a bonus monthly Time for Questions podcast, as well as bonus weekly behind-the-scenes podcast for the top-tier Patreons. I have to say, I'm a bit disappointed that Rishi didn't sign up for that tier. I mean, we know he's got the money for it.
Patreons also have access to tickets to our 100th show, which we are recording live on the 20th of June at the Museum of Comedy in London. And if you send your booking to noncensoredpodcast@gmail.com, we will refund your month's subscription. Tickets will go on general sale on the 1st of April, so this is your opportunity to get tickets before they're gone.
But on to this week's show, and we'll start with the secret plot to replace Rishi Sunak before the next election. We spoke to someone who definitely isn't plotting, Penny Mordaunt. Let's take a listen. Penny Mordaunt, absolutely wonderful to have you on the show. Hello.
Hi, Harriet.
I think this is your first time on Non-Censored, actually.
It is. Thank you for having me.
Well, we've wanted to have you on for some time, but now seemed the right week to do it because... I mean, there is so much in the press about you. There's a lot of talk about how there is a secret leadership bid to oust Rishi Sunak and put you in its place. So, well, first, I'll just start very direct with you, Penny. I know you appreciate a direct woman, and I'm going to be direct with you. Are you planning to oust Rishi Sunak?
Absolutely not. I would never oust Rishi Sunak. I am loyal to Rishi, and I think he's done lots of wonderful things. But if people were to look at me and say, oh, she's a natural leader, then that's on them. But I would never be disloyal.
The thing is, a lot of people seem to be saying you are a natural leader. And let's not forget you came third to Liz Truss in 2022. And Liz Truss really was very hard to beat because she just had all the qualities. So that was always going to be hard, but you came a close third.
I really did, and I think I can't put words in people's mouths, and I won't, but a lot of people have said Penny Mordaunt, leader, sword holder, fighter, naval volunteer, potential prime minister. But I can't, as I say, I absolutely won't speak to these rumours. I shan't.
Yes.
But they're there.
Penny, I have noticed that as you say this, you do seem to be stroking your hair quite a lot and then sort of biting your lip and looking down the barrel of your camera there, and now you're hiding behind your hair. It's almost as if you've got something to hide, you know, that perhaps you want us to know that you actually are secretly going to try and oust Rishi. Is that the case?
No, producer Martin, this is very much a sort of, I'm not going to get drawn in into sort of a left wing sort of, I've seen this before, and I'm not getting into a sort of culture war. It's not about all of the things that you're talking about, and I'm not going to be drawn in. But I will say this, the people of this country want a strong, possibly blonde, very attractive leader. I'll say that. And that's all I'll say.
I think you might be onto that, actually. I think, you know, there's something about Rishi that doesn't quite work for a lot of people. I'll be honest with you, Penny, myself included. I don't know what it is from the first moment I saw him, really. just didn't feel right. And I think people are looking at other options.
Right. Well, his suits? His suits were too nice? Or, I mean, what was his shoes? I mean, what do you think it was?
Why are you giving me the third degree, Mark?
Well, I'm not. No, I mean, I'm just trying to establish what it is about him that needs rejection. I mean, personally, I'm against a lot of his policies. I don't think he's done nearly as much good as he should have at this point in his tenure. And
no, sorry, producer Martin, he's done a lot of very, very good things. And maybe, you know, Harriet, maybe your issue was that it's hard to see him physically because he's so short. Mm. But I don't, that's never been an issue for me. And I have always been able to see him despite his tiny, tiny stature and his tiny shoes. And I think he's been a wonderful leader. And, you know, everything must end, but I would never ever run against him.
But Penny, you can imagine if he tried to hold a sword, it would topple him over.
It would topple him over, Harriet. Mm. And I don't think you should have an election or a leadership sort of process based on holding of swords. But if we were to,
yes,
I held one for 51 minutes.
Wow, that's very impressive. Cool.
Well, I was a naval volunteer. I was in the Naval Reserves.
Wow.
It really does build your core.
Wow.
So, yes.
True strength, that is. And Rishi, I mean, he looks like he's got weak arms. I'm sorry. Now, Penny, some of your allies have said that this is nonsense, and they say it's your rivals trying to stir up nonsense, stir up trouble.
Yes, and I think those rivals are stirring up trouble. Mm. And I would say, stop it. Stop saying that I'll be a powerful, strong, beautiful sword-holding leader. Just stop that right now. I don't like it.
I mean, you are a very convincing leader. I can't deny it. It's the way you just said, stop it there. If I had any sort of ounce of lesbian feeling there, I think that's what would have ignited it for me,
yes,
to be honest,
yeah,
with you.
I have to agree with Harriet there. I had a little bit of lesbian feeling myself. However, Penny, I think we do need to get to the deeper question here, that if there is an ousting, are you saying you will fight against it? You will stand side by side with Rishi Sunak to defend him to the end?
Absolutely, yes, because loyalty is the most important thing for me, and I will be loyal to the last. And I suppose, in a way, loyalty, my loyalty, is what has led some people to say, oh, you should be the leader.
Yes.
You should lead.
Right.
But no, I will be loyal.
Sorry, I must ask. I mean, are you allowed to keep the sword? Is that with you now? I just can imagine you sort of pulling it out now over this interview and it getting very exciting.
Well, I would say, if you were to ask about my sword,
yes,
that I'm the sort of person who falls on my sword.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow.
I don't think that's a good idea. Really, surely you're holding it the wrong way round if that's... I mean, you want to be careful with a sword in any kind of situation.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having the same feelings in this interview that I did when I read Mills and Boone.
Right. Well, I mean, before things get too racy, Penny, you did mention that you think the country is looking for a strong blonde leader. And we have already had one of those relatively recently.
Yes.
Bojo.
Bring back Boris.
Boris, yeah. There's whisperings that perhaps people would want him back.
Is it time to bring him back?
Well, I couldn't speak to him. And, you know, and I'm not one for ever criticising what people in my party have done because it's party first. But I think people are maybe looking for somebody a little bit younger, with less children,
right,
more female.
Right.
Perhaps a woman who sort of, you know, would wear a sort of blue outfit at a coronation. I don't know. Again, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I think that's what the people of this country are looking for.
Do you think, Penny, that they should just resurrect Thatcher?
Some people have said, in many ways, it's almost like they already have.
Wow.
Right, and now you're pointing at yourself. Just sorry, I do have to flag that up for our listeners that aren't watching the live stream. Well,
Martin, apologies, but producer Martin, that's very much not the case. I was just thinking about people that fight, because when I fight, other people fight.
Wow.
And when they fight, their neighbours fight. And when I don't mean against each other, I mean fight in a good way, in a sort of unilateral, not a bilateral, not
Who are they all fighting?
It's a philosophical fight. It's an existential fight. It's a fight for the values of Portsmouth and England and the Navy and swords and leading.
Who's Portsmouth fighting?
They're fighting for the fight, Martin. She just told you.
I think they're fighting erosion mainly at the moment.
No, they are. I don't think you're really listening to what Penny is saying, because it's very detailed and interesting.
Maybe it's because I'm a woman without children, because I'm married. Maybe you can't hear me, producer Martin.
No, I'm looking at your... it all seems to be coming through just fine here. It hasn't affected the recording at all.
Producer Martin, just because Penny Mordaunt watered down plans to arrest sex pests in Parliament doesn't mean she's not a feminist.
I actually wouldn't say that I was a feminist, but I'm certainly a woman.
Yes, Wow. I have to ask, Penny, have you thought maybe that obviously the Conservatives aren't doing very well in the polls at the moment? And do you think what they need is to maybe be a bit more like the Reform Party? Be a bit more sort of, I just don't hear enough about kind of immigration, things like that. And I think, you know, Reform, it's like a little scrappy underdog, but they've got some really interesting up and coming scrappy people. You're really young upstarts. You've got, the really young guy. Oh, he comes on this podcast, producer Martin. Lee Anderson.
Yeah.
Young, virile. And then, of course, Nigel Farage. I mean, that man has, I think we're going to hear a lot from him in the future. And I just wondered if maybe you thought about, maybe that's what the Tory party needs. It needs more of those people.
Well, what those people have in common is they're all big personalities.
Right.
And they're people who say it.
See it.
No, like
sort it
is. No.
I thought.
There was a pause. There was just a large pause, I think.
I thought it was sort of say it, see it, sort it. Yes.
No, I was.
No.
Although that is important as well. Oh, there was another pause. It is quite confusing when you do those pauses. To be fair.
When you speak publicly, and obviously I speak a lot at PMQs and so on, the way you speak is very important. But it's just coming back to what you were saying about the Reform Party. These people are popular. They're popular people. And I think you really have to think about who is someone that's popular to people. And that's important. What do people like? What do people want? Be it, you know, a beautiful woman holding a sword, be it a sort of very right-wing racist man holding a pint at the pub.
Yes.
It's what the public want. And I think that's really important. But in terms of focusing on policies, I think you're right. I think I'm not going to criticise my party first, but perhaps we haven't focused enough on the boats.
Right.
Perhaps not.
Wow.
And that's not a criticism of Rishi, because I would never criticise Rishi, because I think he's a wonderful, tiny little man.
Well, that's so wonderful. I know you're a busy woman. So before we go, really, I just think I've got to speak for my listeners here and say, will you be getting back in a swimsuit anytime soon after you did the reality TV show, The Splash?
Well, I'll say this. Mm. There are some competitions where you wear a swimsuit to win. I won't be doing that kind of competition, but I may be in another leadership. I've said too much.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
Penny, if you don't mind, just before you go, I do have a small piece here. It's called Look After the Pennies and the Pounds Will Look After Themselves. I'm going to give you 3 pennies. And if you don't mind, you could just tell us whether you'd shag, marry or kill them. OK, so here we go. First up, Penelope Pitstop.
Yes.
Next up, Penny Crayon.
Yes.
And finally, Penelope Cruz. So shag, marry, kill.
I don't believe in pitting women against other women unless it's in a leadership battle.
One of them is a cartoon character, if that helps. Oh, well, two of them are, actually.
I think you should spend less time thinking about female cartoons, producer Martin, and more time interrogating your politics.
Well,
that's a very good
head. What a note to end on.
That's, okay, fair enough.
Penny, thank you. I'm sure you've inspired all our female listeners and maybe a few of the men too.
Thank you so much, Harriet. Martin.
Now, we here at Noncensored are really passionate about connecting with real Great Britain, not just the elite Westminster bubble that the rest of the media talk to.
Although our studios are in London, just on a practical level, it's the best place to be.
Yes, practically we're in London, but spiritually, I would say that we're more in Mansfield. Anyway, we spoke to the recently resigned former leader of the worst bit of Britain, Wales.
Harriet, the script says the worst leader of a bit of Britain.
Well, yes, Martin, that can't be right either, because Hamza Youssef exists. Anyway, to talk about the full range of his achievements, here's Mark Drakeford. Mark Drakeford, welcome to the show.
Bore da, Harriet.
What?
Bore da, bore da. Good morning in Welsh.
Okay, right. Let's move past that. So, Mark, this is the first time you've come on the show and will be the last because you are resigning as First Minister of Wales.
Yes, it is. It is the first time I'm on your show. It may not necessarily be the last. I may have
opinions to.
Okay, well, if you ever want someone to give an opinion on Welsh politics or the quality of soil in Pontcanna, I'm more than willing to help out.
Well, I don't need to know about the quality of soil in somewhere in Africa. It's not really necessary. But you're stepping down. Why is this? And how do the people of Plaid feel about it?
Well, before we begin, the people of Plaid Cymru, that's not really anything to do with them. I'm the leader of Welsh Labour. Is that in your notes there?
Right.
Yeah. So Plaid Cymru is a separate party.
What do they do?
They're a political party. They're like the SNP, but their flyers are.
Oh God. Oh dear. Right. Okay. So that's Hamza Youssef's party. Right.
It's not Hamza Youssef's party. It's they're very much their own thing.
Right. Okay. But, Mark, how do you think you'll be remembered to the people of Wales?
It's not really for me to say, is it? It's very much up to them, I think.
Well, do you think they will be upset now? Some of our English listeners won't be aware of this, but because I know lots about Wales, I do. And that is, do you think they'll be upset that you put a speed limit on 20 miles per hour?
So, we did change the speed limit on a lot of roads. Many roads, which would have been 30 miles an hour, have been changed to 20 miles an hour. It's good for the environment. It's
sorry, Mark, you're going a bit slow there. You should be going even slower or we'll have to fine you on this show. Doesn't feel very nice, does it? That's how the people of Wales feel.
Well, I think it's been a perfectly sensible decision to make. I don't think it's made a huge disruption to people's lives. I mean, in
what about the people, Mark, who've already late for work because environmental protesters have lain across the road and now they can't even speed up, so they're going to be even later for work? Once again, the environment is destroying people's trips to work.
Well, I think that if they see environmental protesters in the road and they're going at 20 miles an hour, they can probably turn right or left in advance and find a different way to go. So I don't think there's any... Let me talk about maybe some of the other things that we've done during my time in work, because obviously I found myself in charge during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we took a very different route to the UK government. We our restrictions were slightly different, and we did the rules regarding what you could and couldn't do were different. We introduced a fire break. We had a different situation in which we could fine people. So all this, all these things, you know, that,
you were
that
basically,
I did,
you were a slave to the science.
Well, we followed the science. I studied what we were given, and
yes.
I made the decision.
Do you know who else follows? People in cults.
I wouldn't say that the science was a cult.
You worshipped at the altar of scientists and experts who we've had enough of in this country, Mark. And I just don't see why you couldn't be a proper leader and, you know, talk about the science over wine and cheese. I understand you like cheese. And then say, OK, we've listened. I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm a leader and I have autonomy.
I don't think it's really my position to ignore the science. One thing you have got right in this interview is I do like cheese. I will give you that. I do enjoy cheese. I like kefili. I like a crumbly kefili.
Which is a kefili.
So it's a slightly salty...
Editorial note here, Mark talked about cheese for well over 5 minutes, so we had to cut it down. It was quite tedious, but you can check out the whole thing if you go to our radio website.
Cheese. So I'll give you that so far. That's
okay. Well, so you like cheese. I mean, what about people who like driving very fast?
I mean, if you like to drive fast, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunity.
What if you like driving fast past small villages which have schools and hospitals?
That's not something that I would particularly want to endorse. I don't think there's
a bit hypocritical, isn't it, Mark?
In what way is that hypocritical?
It's hypocritical. You enjoy cheese, yet people who enjoy driving fast can only do it in certain... I mean, how would you feel if you were only allowed to have cheese on the motorway?
I don't think that's ever been a problem. You know, now and again, I've stopped at a services and they've not had what I want. I can cope with that. No, I think we need to maybe move on from the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. We could talk about... The agreement that we came up to with Plaid Cymru, plans to expand Welsh media education.
You said that you don't work with Plaid.
But we do have an agreement with them inside the Senedd, inside the Welsh Parliament.
Senedd. Is that Welsh for Senate?
It's Welsh for Parliament.
Right. Carry on.
We you know, have expanded the social care system within Wales in agreement with Plaid.
A lot of agreements with Plaid, isn't there? Did they agree with you about the 20 miles per hour speed limit?
I think the best bet is we move on from the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's really not that big a deal. I don't think it's something to really worry about that much.
Well, what about the fact that you cancelled the M4 Relief Road?
Yes, we did cancel the M4 Relief Road.
What do you have against cars?
We don't have anything against cars. We cancelled the M4 Relief Road because there were some environmental concerns and there were some cost concerns, and it just seemed to make sense to... you do know that there are other ways to travel, don't you? You have heard of trains and walking or driving at a different speed. You have heard of these things.
Well, I don't know if you know, but trains, we can't do that now because HS2's been cancelled. So that's actually quite a sore point there. Mark, what are you looking forward to? What are you going to do with your retirement?
Oh, I've got plenty of plans. I might spend a little bit more time on the allotment. I may write a book, and I may get back into my true passion, which is, of course, bodyboarding.
Bodyboarding?
Bodyboarding, yes, yes. I've always been very keen bodyboarding enthusiast over in West Wales.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but bodyboarding is something that's reliant on the speed of water, isn't it?
The speed at which you travel probably varies with the current.
Is there a speed limit to the speed of water?
No, there's no speed limit to the speed of water.
How would you feel if there was a speed limit to the speed of water?
I think you're talking...
Would you be happy with that?
I think you're talking about something here which falls outside the jurisdiction of the Welsh.
Would you be happy if there was a speed limit on the speed of water and then you thought, fine, I'll go on the water M4, and then they said, no, we're cancelling that. You can't do it. You just have to speed bodyboard in this little lake with three children in it who you want to leave, but they just paddle and they take up the whole room.
I'm just wondering, do you know anything I've done other than the speed limit?
Well, Mark Drayford, that's all we've got time for, but thank you so much for coming on to Non-Censored, and good luck with your retirement.
Diolch yn fawr.
How rude. Now, if you're finding the adverts in this show annoying, remember you can skip them by going to patreon.com/non-censored, where you'll get episodes without them and you'll be supporting the show. Finally, could this podcast be prosecuted for a hate crime?
No, don't worry. I edited that thing you said out, so it's fine.
What thing?
Well, quite a lot of things, actually, like the thing about the Bolivians.
Oh, Martin, you can't argue with science. And anyway, my question was rhetorical for now, because the Scottish police are literally planning on arresting every comedian. I spoke to our diversity correspondent and also a comedian, Ishan Akbar, about this. Let's take a listen. Hello, Ishan Akbar.
Hello, Harriet. How are you today?
I am good. I am ready for some hot and spicy takeaway. That's what I am.
I'm delighted, because have I got a hot and spicy takeaway for you?
Oh, my goodness. Please do tell.
Well, you'll see that in Scotland, you know, our noisy neighbours up there, all the way up there.
Yes. Yes.
They have put in force a bill which comes into force on the 1st of April, the Hate Crime and Public Order Act. This act is a law, basically the thought police, there to police what people are saying and ensuring that no one's saying anything hateful or awful or racist or misogynistic. And there was a big old to-do that comedians and entertainers and other performers were also going to fall foul of this. But very quickly, the police have come out, Police Scotland have said that they will not target performers when new hate crime laws come into force next month.
Good, yes.
My hot spicy takeaway is this. I think they're being a bit hasty by not targeting comedians, entertainers. I don't know, you might be thinking, Ishan, what would you mean? You're a comedian. Why would you want this?
Yes, exactly. You want the right to say hateful things, I think.
Precisely. The thing is I'm on tour from February next year. I have very many venues, 37 and 40 and counting, actually. But some places aren't selling particularly well. So I just think that it would be to my benefit if the police turned up to say Aldershot or Swansea. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even Borden.
I don't think that's a real place.
Oh, it is. I'm going. I just feel like if I'm able to just say something and the police turn up, then actually there'll be more people at the show.
Well, it would fill a few seats full of police.
Yes. And I think that's supporting the arts, isn't it? Really?
Do you think, what do you imagine would happen here? Do you think the police will come over and they will start watching your show and they might be won over by it?
Yes, and because I know the police are coming, I'll do stuff that they'll like, you know.
Nice.
How black people commit more crime.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll do stuff about how, you know, sometimes women, they need a bit of knocking about, don't they?
No, but wouldn't these count as hate crimes? I think you're putting the police in a moral quandary because you're giving them jokes that they might enjoy, but also they might be jokes that are themselves hate crimes.
Well, therein lies the problem. At which point is it a joke? I would never think, I don't think those things. I don't think black people commit more crime. I don't think sometimes when women are misbehaving, they need to be knocked about. However, for the purposes of my show and getting more people in, they are statements I'd be happy to say.
Also, Ishan, you could have a thing where you get one or two policemen come in, they're confused because they're thinking this is a hate crime, but also they're jokes that targeted towards me and I like that. So they might have to call more police officers in to ascertain whether what you're doing is a hate crime or just good old fun jokes for police. Yes. So you might build an audience solely of more and more police officers there who need to bring their friends to find out more and more what is going on.
Yes, and then what will happen is they will then call people, if they get confused, to say from women's domestic abuse charities or like anti-racism charities, and they'll turn up, and then I get a groundswell of all these people who are just trying to work out whether or not what I'm saying is falling foul of the hate crime laws. I actually think it's a very good idea.
Is that the kind of audience you want in your comedy, though? I mean, the problem with people from domestic abuse charities and all those kind of things is I don't know how much they're good at laughing at comedy. You know, they probably don't like jokes about women being knocked around.
Yes.
I'm bizarre, I know, but there is that to consider.
Well, I think that comedy has the power to break barriers and boundaries.
Oh, beautiful.
And I think that if people from, you know, anti-racism charities and domestic abuse charities want to come to my show,
yes,
they can go on ishanakbar.com and buy some.
Okay, I do have to ask something. Is this whole hot and spicy takeaway this week? Is this just a way of plugging your show?
No.
Because that's what it feels like, Ishan.
Does it? Well, okay, well... I'm sorry that it comes across that way.
Do you even, what I want to know is, do you even care about the new hate crime bill?
Yes, I do. I care about it as much as J.K. Rowling does. Right, J.K. Rowling, she tweeted, if you genuinely imagine I delete posts calling a man so as not to be prosecuted under this ludicrous law, stand by for the mother of all April Fool's jokes. And nothing makes more sense than what she just said there.
Right, what is she saying there?
What she's saying is, you can't make me delete any of my tweets. So on April Fool's Day, watch what happens.
Well, that's exciting.
What a preview.
I mean, what is going to happen on April Fool's Day? Is she going to not delete some more tweets?
I mean, it's all up in the air. And this is what she's very good at. She's great at building anticipation. If you read her work, right? If you read the Harry Potter series, you're always wondering what's going to happen. And then if you read her tweets, you're always wondering, who does she hate today? What's happening?
It's usually the same people, isn't it, really?
Usually, yeah.
Yes.
But also, why is this law coming in on 1st of April? That seems like a silly idea.
Yes, that's going to confuse a lot of people.
They're going to be like, this is a joke, surely.
But there we go. It's again, honest, there must be something for the comedians there. There must be something for on April Fool's Day. There's something you can do, Ishan. I'm not a comedian, I don't know, but there is some little joke you could pull, I think.
Oh, bloody hell. It's April Fool's Day. These new hate crimes.
You could say a hate crime and then go, April Fool's, it wasn't actually, it was a joke.
Exactly. That's the plan.
Yes. Oh, wonderful.
Nonsense is exclusive. Look out for what I'm going to say on April Fool's Day. You're not going to know if it's a joke or a hate crime.
Oh, my goodness. People aren't going to know what's hit them. And the good thing is, I think on Twitter, you know, there's a real strong sense of humour and camaraderie. Yes. And I think everyone will really enjoy that. And the police. I think the police will really enjoy that.
And ultimately, if anyone needs to a bit of enjoyment nowadays, it is the police.
Yes, bless them. Yes, they've had a hard time, haven't they? Lot of bad apples.
Lots of bad apples, both in the police and out of the police, and you've got to catch them all like Pokemon.
Okay, well, I don't really understand why you said that, because it doesn't really mean anything. But I like the Pokemon reference because it'll appeal to our more Pokemon savvy listeners, and isn't that nice?
Do you like Pokemon? Are you a Pokemon fan?
I don't understand what it is and why. It exists.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad we had that chat.
Well, Ishan, thank you very much for your hot and spicy takeaway of the week. I think it was the hottest and spiciest takeaway we've had yet. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week. So in the meantime, like, subscribe, tell your friends, follow the Out of Context Nonsense at Blue Sky account, and keep those questions coming to nonsensedpodcast@gmail.com. And join us on patreon.com/nonsensed to get free episodes, longer videos, bonus podcasts, and much, much more. With thanks to Rosie Holt, Brendan Murphy, Ishan Akbar, Davina Bentley, Gareth Gwynn, and Ed Morrish. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and we'll be back next week with more Nonsensed.